darkness hides my Savior's face. I rest on His unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong, I still lift up salvation's song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and He will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Anything important yet?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
All right. Good morning. It's good to be back here this morning. Thank you so much. It's good to have Pastor here. Usually when I'm here, he's not. I don't understand quite why that happens, but I try not to take it personal. But it's good to have him here this morning. And each of you, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 this morning. You know, we live in interesting times. And I don't know that if we've ever lived in a time in my lifetime. And I promise you, I'm going to put this clock somewhere where I think I can see it. Brother Paul, we asked him how he was this morning. He said, I'll let you know after the service. I said, get back to me about 2 o'clock. I'm just joking, I think. So, anyway.
Take his mask off, will you?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I saw? We drive over Route 5 and along the bike trail. You know, I saw a lady riding her bike this morning with a mask on.
She was trying to get her oxygen.
I don't know what she's trying to keep from catching, but if I was afraid to come out of the house, I think I would be out riding a bike. Especially on Sunday mornings, she might need something else besides that bike ride. So anyway, we live in interesting times, and you know, this morning we want to look at the very familiar story, the storm that the disciples went through on the Sea of Galilee. And in the past, over the years and years past, if we would preach this text, usually we would target it
maybe something you're going through in your own life, a storm that you're going through in your own life. Pastor Blackwell has been through a storm, still coming through the storm. We all have storms that come into our life, but you know, I think we're all on a boat in a storm, and it's very easy to feel uncertain about if we're going to survive this storm, if our nation is going to survive the storm. It may be stormy this week, you know, in Washington, and with all the things that are going on, this whole pandemic, and I'm not making light of it. I believe that the disease is real. I'll even go as far as I think it was invented for a purpose, but I won't get on my conspiracy theory. But, y'all may get anything else. Oh, amen. The Chinese virus. Can I say that on the live stream? Hey, the Chinese made their mask. Or was that convenient? Oh, I'm off my notes, by the way, brother. You said my preaching was better without notes. I did not have that right down. Mark chapter 4. We want to look at this and just see how we can learn from this. And I think we all can learn and grow from this. And let me say this up front. If you're here and you're saved, then you need to be learning some things right now. See, we're in school right now. And not just this morning, but right now in our nation, in our Christian walk, we are in school. And you never know when pop quiz is going to come along. You never know when the teacher is going to come in and say, okay, close your books, we're going to take a test. And so if you're here and you're saved this morning, you need to be paying attention and learning some things that God, and I'm not talking about watching Communist News Network or any of these news, you know, everything is lies. You know, as a police officer, you get used to people lying to you. People will lie for no reason. No good reason to lie. They just lie. Christians lie to me when I'm at work. Sunday morning, stop them. You know they're going to church. You say, you know how fast it's going? No. Liar. You look, when you saw me, you know how fast you were going. You should go to church and repent. But anyway, I digress. But listen, you should be on. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, I got some bad news for you. Because things is getting hopeless. All right? Maybe you trusted in your candidates. Maybe you trusted in your party. Maybe you trusted in the Constitution of our nation and our election process. Listen, if that's all you have, that must be what Paul was looking forward to the future of the United States when he said, if we have hope in this world, we are men most miserable. Listen, things are getting hopeless by a world point of view, by a national point of view. But listen, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is your lucky day. Because you have come to a place under the preaching of God's Word where you can have hope. You may have walked in here down and depressed. You know, I get depressed every time something like this comes because I don't like to go to tactical field force. I had pretty much managed my whole career not to go. I play the age card. I play the degenerative disc card. I play the senior trooper card. Everything I can throw out at the supervision to keep from going. Luckily, we had a retired trooper die last week, and I got to go preach a funeral and didn't have to go to Arlington. That's a win. You know? Hey, you can go to work. He knew the Lord, and the major called me up and said, can you do this? And I thought, wow, that's the day they're supposed to probably go to D.C. Absolutely, I can go to Halifax County, way better than D.C. I won't tell you that right now. But anyway, we want to look at this storm now. Now, the context of this storm in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been teaching God to see all day. They was in church all day, Paul. What did Paul? All day they were in church. And after he gets done teaching and preaching, the multitude goes away. They had enough. I had a friend of mine yesterday, and he's an unsaved man, and I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, was just visiting with him, and he was talking about churches, and they visited some churches in the area where we're planting our church, and he said, you know, they had a rock band, and they did all this stuff, and he just didn't like it. It's an unsaved man. He said, I like the old songs. Unsaved man said, I want to sing Amazing Grace. And then he said, you know, and if the preacher can't preach what he's got to say in 20 minutes, he said, you know, people lose interest. I said, no, you lose interest. People don't lose interest in God's Word. Christians don't lose interest in God's Word. Now, granted, some people can keep your attention a little bit more than others. Sometimes just morbid curiosity will keep you engaged with me. But I said, you lose interest. And so even an unsaved person, so some of these people lost interest at some point during this church service by the sea, and they depart, but a few hang around. In verse 10, we see that, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. So the 12 were there, they stuck by, and a few more of the crowd, they kind of hung around. You know why? Because they wanted to know more. They said, this is good stuff. We want to know details. We want to more intimately know the message that you're teaching us, teacher. And so we see the crowd leaves, and so he continues to go deeper with these groups. Now, we already touched on, but typically what happens when the teacher gets done teaching? It's test time, right? When the teacher gets done, it's test time. And so he tells them here in verse 35, and we'll just read the scripture 35 through 41 real quick. I should put the mask back on. And then we'll hit on a few things here. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and then said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. God, thank you for each one that's come to hear your word. Thank you, God, for each one that is watching and had a desire to turn on the program and to hear your word. God, we need you this morning. Our nation needs you. And God, we pray that your will would be done. We want to have a faith that completely trusts in you, knowing that you justly judge. That everything you do is right and perfect. God, and it may not be what we expect, but God, we ask that you give us the peace, that you calm the storms in our life. Maybe there's one here this morning, God, that is going through a personal storm, whether it be illness or financial or relationships. God, whatever it might be, Lord, help us to better understand your purpose in our life as a result of these storms. God, we pray if there's one here that don't have the peace to know that that you are their Savior, don't have the peace to know that they made a decision to follow you and that heaven will be their eternal home. God, I pray that you would bring them this morning, God, that they would come and surrender and find peace and find hope in their own life. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So, we see here that he tells them to get on the boat. Now, notice some things about this trip. First of all, it said in verse 36 that they took him even as he was in the ship. That leads me to believe that this wasn't a pre-planned itinerary. You know, Jesus went from place to place He did spend a portion of his life. Nowhere do we see that he spent a portion of his life prior to his public ministry making a 5-year plan, making an itinerary, or working on this such and such. He didn't make reservations in the next town in the hotel to where he was going. He simply, when they were done, he said, "Let's get in the boat, go to the other side." So just as they were, all day they're here. They don't go out and get any provisions. I mean, this is not a long trip anyway. 2-3 hour trip maybe. At the most, it's a short trip. Nothing unusual. He says, "Let's get on the boat." So we see it was a spur of the moment thing. And you notice the very first thing he says in verse 35, he said, "Let's pass unto the other side." And that's important. Let's pass to the other side. If you're here saved this morning, Christ has said to you, "I'm going to take you to the other side." We are going to the other side. Kind of like when you arrest somebody, they want to get arrested, and you have to make that wonderful statement that you get to make, "Hey, we can go hard or easy, but we got to go." You see, if you're here and saved this morning, he said, "We're going to go." And so here, we want to look at some things here. Three or four things about this situation. First of all, the storm. You see, they have been learning all day. They have been in school all day. They have been studying things all day. And so, and not only do they get the general sermon, but then they get some one-on-one time because they want to go deeper. So maybe, the whole multitude didn't come, but those that wanted more, and it's kind of interesting, those that wanted more, you see the crowd left. Guess what? They didn't experience a storm. They were never put in the storm. We don't know that this was a land storm, because this storm was on the sea. Those that came and got a little bit. Those that came and those that come at 11 o'clock on Sunday and then they go do something else. You know, H.A. Ironside, I believe, and I won't get the quote right here. He made a quote about one of the greatest detriments in a Christian's life was trafficking in unlived faith. Think about that statement. Trafficking in unlived faith. And I wonder this morning, is anyone here trafficking in unlived faith? You know what that means? That means you come on 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and you hear a 20, 30, 90-minute sermon, and then you leave here and you tell people, "Oh, boy, you know, the preacher preached on faith and I've got faith," but you know what? You never live the faith. You traffic it, you peddle it, you push it, but you know what? You never live it. And listen, when the storm comes, you're going to have to live it. See, the multitude that just comes, you know, maybe the CEOs, Christmas, Easter onlys, they didn't have no storm. That was good English, wasn't it? They didn't have no storm. What is amazing that these that wanted more, they wanted to go deeper, they said, "Tell us more, Jesus. We can handle it. We want to grow stronger." What happened? They're in a storm. I don't know, but seems to me like not being in a storm better than being in a storm. So their reward for going deeper, their reward for wanting a closer walk with Christ, their reward for wanting to get intimate with Christ and His teachings was they get thrown in a storm. That just don't seem fair. But listen, the storm. First thing about this storm, this was a natural occurring storm. This wasn't a miraculous storm. This wasn't an intentional storm. This is not a storm that we have any indication that God created for the purpose of affecting this group of people in this boat. The Sea of Galilee, storms are very natural. It's below sea level. It's surrounded by mountains. It's kind of like a funnel, and it was very common for storms on the Sea of Galilee. So it wasn't a supernatural thing. Everything nothing that happens in your life that you feel like God is testing you on is not an intentional supernatural thing. You know what? Things happen. When God created the heavens and the earth, He put in place natural laws. And guess what? It rains on the Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. You know why it rains? Because the moisture rises up, makes clouds, and rain falls. God just doesn't specifically rain on you. Now, can God provide through His natural order things to bless people? Absolutely. But we have no indication that this was anything other than just your natural bad storm on the Sea of Galilee. Now, an interesting thing you see about these are experienced fishermen. They make their living on the water. Fishing. They probably are not strangers to storms. But you know what? They are afraid. You know what that tells me? This is a little bigger than normal storm. This storm is a little bit bigger than what they're used to. But we know it was natural. And you know what? Storms come even. Second thing about this storm, the storm comes even when you are in the will of God. Listen, you see what he said? He said, the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. He told them to get in the boat. And he got in the boat with them. Hey, I don't know how you can be any more perfectly in the will of God than to be in the boat with God. You cannot be, it's impossible to be any closer in the will of Christ than when you are in a boat with Christ. You see, that will rock some theology of some people. It's a blow Joel Olsen's mind. He ain't ever read this before. In God's will, storms come. In God's will, for Christian people who want to get deeper and deeper and spend more time with Christ, storms come. And then the next thing, storms are not an indicator in your life of whether you are or you ain't in God's will. Storms are not, that's not a meter, that's not a scale, that's not an indication. Well, God is punishing me because I've been bad, because this illness came. God is punishing me because I lost my job. It's got to be for that. Now, does God punish sin in Christian's lives? Absolutely. But you see, this was just, you know what you can rack this storm up to? Life. Being alive. Being a human being on planet Earth. You see, we don't know if there's any other boats out here on the sea that night, but you know what? If they were, they were probably afraid too. This wasn't just a little storm. I used to joke about years ago when my girls were growing and we had a pool. That every time I got a chance to get in the pool, this black cloud would come over and hover right over the pool. Today, they're in their 30s and they will still talk about Dad's black cloud that follows him around. That thing has been after me for 40 years. But listen, the storm was just life. Now, we see the storm. We see this windstorm here. But really, for the disciples and those that were on the boat, there were really three storms occurring here. There's just not one storm. First storm is the circumstantial storm, the windstorm. It's the storm that they see. It's the storm that they're experiencing. It's the source of their other two storms that have taken place. So first of all, we have the circumstantial storm. We have the storm of COVID-19. That's a circumstantial storm. We have the political storm in our nation. That's a circumstantial storm. Maybe you're here and you're a pastor coming through an illness. Hey, that COVID and pneumonia, that's a circumstantial storm. You see, the obvious is the circumstantial storm that's going on, but all that listen, there's two more storms going on. The circumstantial storm, it was unexpected. See, that's what happened. The circumstances are often unexpected, aren't they? You don't see them coming. They just pop up out of nowhere, it seems. You know what? They made no provision for this storm. They coats. They didn't take anything that would protect them from this storm. You know what? They wasn't expecting a storm. It was unexpected. They made no fear. It was uncontrollable. They couldn't control this circumstance. Completely out of their control, this circumstantial storm. Listen, you can't control the weather. If we could, we would have had about 20 less inches of rain this year. We will see not one flake of snow all winter. Yeah, a few. See, Marty always said, oh, I hope you get a snow day. I tell you, you keep forgetting that a snow day for me and you are two entirely different things. A snow day for a school teacher is sitting in front of the fire. A snow day for a state trooper means you not only are you not off today that you thought you were going to be, but you're going to be out pushing knuckleheads out of the snow. Who can drive on dry ground, let alone snow? We can't control these circumstances. They could not control these circumstances. Listen, sickness, financial, marital, relational disasters, unexpected deaths. We can't control those things. We cannot control those. But listen, that circumstantial storm led to another storm. Not only did they have the circumstantial storm, they were going through an emotional storm. They were going through an emotional storm. It says they were afraid. You see, the circumstantial storm created an internal emotional storm to where they became afraid. And listen, they're on a boat with Jesus. They were taught the sea principle today. They learned about that if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that in God's will you can move a mountain. They've heard all of that. Then they got deeper. He explained the parable of the sower to them. He explained so much to them, and they're in a boat. You know what? They were afraid. The circumstantial storm, the circumstances overtook their emotional state. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this storm raging, they are fearful. But listen, there's another storm. Third storm that we see. We had the natural circumstantial storm. We had the emotional storm. But you know what? Now we see the worst storm of all. A spiritual storm. They're going through a spiritual storm. They said, Master, see, they woke him up. Now, it was faithlessness that woke him up. It was their faithlessness that they awoke him. It would have been different if it would have been they woke him up out of faith. If they said, Jesus, wake up. You got any more pillows? Huh? Ain't what they said, was it? It said, you know what they said? Don't you care? Listen, that's the first sign of a spiritual storm in your life. God, don't you care? I mean, God, I serve you. I go to church. I'm involved in these ministries. I study your word. I preach. I plant churches. I do all of these things. And now I am in a storm. I am full of fear. We're going to die. God, don't you care? You know what? If we tell the truth, probably not one person here has in some form or fashion asked that question. You can say any amount of time, at some place, some point, you've wondered, don't you care? God, I heard you were a healer. You were the great physician, but I'm sick. My loved ones are sick. God, I heard you were a counselor, but I'm in trouble. I heard you owned it all, but I'm broke. I heard you were closer than a brother, but I'm all alone. I left everything for you, God, and now you have left me here in these circumstances full of fear and emotional turmoil to let me perish. God, don't you care? You see, in the storm, in the fight of our life sometimes, probably each one of us at some point we cried out and said, God, where are you? So that's the storm that's going on. The second thing we seek is a sleeping Savior. Jesus is asleep. Now, I kind of got the carnal, the earthly, the human part of me kind of has a problem with the sleeping Savior when I'm in the middle of some bad circumstances. I mean, I kind of like my Savior to be awake for these kind of situations. I'm awake. I mean, after all, He wakes me up at 2:00 in the morning to talk. When I'm trying to get some sleep, maybe you should wake up, Jesus. He's asleep. But you know what? Not only is He asleep, He's asleep on a pillow. You know what that means? He didn't just fall asleep because He's tired, He preached too hard. He intentionally laid down to give Him some sleep. And all of a sudden this storm comes along. And you know what? He's still sleeping. Oh, wouldn't you like to be able to sleep in a storm? Wouldn't you like to be able, in the midst of your storm, just fluff up your pillow and go to sleep? And, you know, not. Wouldn't you like to go to sleep and wake up and the election hadn't turned out the way it did? That's true. You'll have to pay me for that one. But listen, He's asleep. He intentionally went to bed. And you know what is even crazier about this? He's in the same storm. He's in the same boat I'm in. He's in the same storm I'm in. I'm freaking out. We're going to die. And He is sleeping through it. Marty kind of sleeps that way. She says, don't wake me up in the morning because I'm going to sleep till whenever I wake up. And that could be a long time. I could have had a shift in, chase somebody, arrest somebody. And she's just getting up. And here she says, don't wake me up. I could go out there with a marching band. She ain't going to go. I mean, she's getting a little older. She doesn't quite sleep that deep anymore. Wouldn't you like to be able to sleep in your storm like that? We're in the same boat. We're in the same circumstances. What's the difference? Why am I afraid? And He's not afraid. That almost insults me, really. I mean, it's bad enough that my Savior is sleeping through my storm, but He don't even wake up in it. He is so unconcerned with these circumstances. God, don't you care? So they wake Him up. Jesus, Jesus! Listen, when our storm seems to be consuming us, we should not hesitate to wake up Jesus. Listen, it's okay to wake up Jesus with your unfaithfulness. I just want to make that clear. All right? Obviously, it would be better if it was in faith that we call on Him. But it is perfectly acceptable to call on Him when our faith is weak. They said, Jesus, we should not hesitate to wake Him up. But you know what's going on here? They're taking the test, right? A pop quiz has come along. You know, it's kind of like you teachers, and I hear teachers talk about how your minds are like sponges, right? You take a sponge at home and you know, I take my sponge and wash a car and it's dry and I put it down in there in a bucket of soapy water and I pick it up and it absorbs it, right? It's full of the water. But you know what I have to do to get the water out? I squeeze it. I gotta apply pressure. Now, I can squeeze that dry sponge all day long. Guess what? Nothing comes out. You know why? Because nothing was absorbed in it. I hadn't absorbed up anything in it yet. And quite frankly, whatever I absorb in it is what's going to come out. Right? If I stick it in Kool-Aid will come out. If I stick it in water, whatever. But you know what? It's got to have some pressure applied. It's got to have some squeeze. And see, they were sponges today. They were in church all day, and they were soaking up all of this stuff. But you know what? It was trafficking in unproven, unlived faith until the pressure was applied. They're taking a test. And you know, the thing about a test is the questions are based on information that you've already been given. You see, they're not asking questions you don't have the answers to. You know, it's like when we teach at the academy, the popular thing is you might see this again. You know, in your PowerPoints, you kind of do something to that sentence to make it look different from others. And, you know, that way you can kind of just not really pay attention, just hit the high points.
We never do that, Captain. You know that. But
you know what? They're getting tested on information that they've already received. Now, what happens when you're taking that test, all right? You've been in school all day. You've learned the information. The teacher says, close your book. We're going to take a test. And so they pass out the test. What does a teacher typically do then? They go sit down, and they're quiet. Right? The teacher don't keep teaching while you're taking the test. You know what? The teacher sits down. Now, you may want to ask a question. You may say, teacher, what's the answer to number 5? But you know what? The teacher is just quiet, unless they tell you to shut up. If I had a nickel every time in school, but you know what? The teacher's quiet. You know why Jesus is asleep? You know why he's quiet? They're taking a test. They're taking a test. He's already given them the information that they needed. But now they're taking a test. And then thirdly, we see the Savior speaking. We saw the storm. We saw the Savior asleep. Now we see the Savior speak. You know what? He makes three individual addresses here. First of all, he rebukes the wind. He rebukes the wind. He censures the wind. He forbids the wind. You know why? Because the wind is the source of the problem. Now, I believe in Matthew, he recorded the boat was filling up. So the problem is all this water, the boat is being tossed on the waves, the water is splashing in, the boat is filling up with water. They're in fear of drowning, sinking. But you know what? It wasn't the water's fault. It was the wind's fault. Said it was a windstorm. Boy, I hate windstorms. I'd probably just about rather have a little water than I would, you know, these high wind days. We've had high wind days where we've had to close the bridge over West Point, not let trucks drive across it because the wind was so strong and blow them off. I hate those windy days. Blows her hat off and, you know, then you've got to write a letter and I hate windstorms. But listen, he rebuked. That's a strong word. He rebuked the wind. Why? Because the wind was the problem. You know what I thought about when I was looking at this? We talked about the circumstantial storm, the emotional storm, and the spiritual storm. He rebukes the circumstance. You see, he has the power to stand up and rebuke. He made the wind stop. But you see, even when he immediately stopped the wind, what about all the aftermath of the wind? You still got the waves crashing. It's still rough out here. Just because of wind, you know, the waves, the ripple effects of this windstorm. He rebuked the wind, but then he said, he spoke, peace be still, to the water. See, it wasn't the water's fault. He wasn't mad at the water. He had rebuked the water. He didn't rebuke the waves. He said, hey, calm down. It's going to be okay. Settle down. See, he'll calm our emotional storm. He speaks to the circumstance. But listen, when he spoke to those circumstances, by the way, it was only after they woke him up. That's key. That's important. You know why? Because many will go to their friends before they wake Jesus up. Many will go to their family about their circumstances before they wake up Jesus. Many will go to Facebook and Google. You know, what's the first thing you do when you start feeling bad? You Google to diagnose yourself, don't you? See, am I? You know, what would you ever do if you Googled up and said, you're going to die? Period. Would you just die? Now, you might want to go to the doctor. Many will go to the doctor. Many in their circumstances went to the polling place to solve their circumstances. Many are dependent on the government. Many already have the next stimulus check spent. Many will even go to the pastor. How many times people come to you and even went to God yet, Pastor? But you know what? You never woke up Jesus. They never cried out and woke him up. And then the third thing we see, he questions the disciples. He rebukes the wind. He speaks, "Peace be still," to the waves. And then he questions the disciples. First question, why are you so afraid? Now, that, I got a little bit of a problem with that question. It kind of be like me eating a donut and somebody walk up to me and say, "Is that donut good?" Well, of course it's good. I love donuts. And it's good. See, it sounds like a dumb question. I don't know Jesus, why we're so afraid. Perhaps, just maybe, it's because we're about to die. Kind of a dumb question, it sounds like, Jesus. See, he wasn't asking for his benefit, though. He was asking for them. That's all part of the test. That's all part of the test. And then he says the second question, how is it that you don't have any faith? Apparently, they should not be having a faith problem at this point. Apparently, they should not be having this issue. You remember the sermon earlier, he talked about that mustard seed faith. And he even told them, he said, don't just hear, listen. You know, many times we hear, but we don't listen, right? You men know what I'm talking about. I hear things, but I don't always listen. Must be a real thing at your house. But listen. He said, don't just hear my word. I want you to listen. I want you to get this. You've got to understand this. Because listen, boys, things are going to come into your life and you're going to need this. When the storms come, you're going to need what I'm telling you. So I need you to listen. So apparently, they didn't listen well enough. He said, let's go to the other side. Guess what? He made them a promise, didn't he? You see, they forgot. He said, well, now he didn't say we're going to the other side and it's going to be smooth sailing. We're not going on a casual cruise to the other side. We're not going to have dinner served and music as we coast along to the other. See, that's what a lot of people think when they get saved. They think that's what kind of ride they're getting on. They think that they get saved and all the problems are going to be over. It's going to be a bed of roses. Listen, remember, who didn't get the storm? The ones that never got deeper. The ones that didn't want more, they avoided the storm. But listen, the ones that wanted the information, you know what? They signed up for the course, didn't they? You know, you're like signing up for college and then mad because you had to take a test. You asked for it. You know, we went to State Police Academy at 43 years old. Guess what? It was horrible. I didn't like much of it. But you know what? I remembered. I signed up for it. I asked for this. Every Sunday evening, driving up Interstate 81, that 3-hour drive, I'd see people going south and say, that could be me. This next exit, I can make that turn, and this horrible, miserable existence will be over. But you know what I remember? I signed up for it. And you know what? Once all the pain and suffering was over, 7 months of pain and suffering was over, then the goal that I had set for myself was achieved. I ate a lot of tests. There was a lot of trying. But you know what? When I go to work today, or tomorrow when I go back to work, it all came from that test. It all came from that trials that I went through. Makes me able to get in the car and go to work and have confidence in my abilities to do my job. You see, we asked for it. They asked for this. Listen. In verse 41, and I'm going to finish, and they feared exceedingly. After he asked the questions, the Bible tells us that they feared exceedingly. Now wait a minute, they're afraid again. Remember, they've been afraid before. You see back up here the road trip, where are they at? You see where they were afraid of there? Anyway, they did what? Somebody? Okay. And they said, Master, care us not that they would perish. They were fear. They were afraid. Listen, they were just afraid then. You know, like
like watching a little movie on TV and being like, ooh, it scared me, compared to now. Now they fear exceedingly. It said they fear exceedingly. You know what? I'll bet when they got off of that boat, their life was forever changed. I'll bet they got off of that boat entirely different then than when they got on that boat. I'll bet if you would ask them a story about this boat ride, I'll bet the first thing they said would not be, wow, that was a big storm. You know what I bet they'd say? What kind of man is this? You see, I don't think that the size of that circumstance was what was left in their mind when they got off of that boat. You know what was in their mind? The power. What manner of man that even the wind and sea obeyed him. When they got on that boat, they didn't know that man. But when they got off of that boat, they knew that man. You know why they knew that man? Because they had to go through the test. They got, you know what? They walked on that boat, maybe trafficking in unlived faith. They got off of that boat. They wasn't pegged on something they didn't know something about now. Their life is forever changed. You know what? That's what the storms can do in your life. Matthew 10:28 said, fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Their life was changed. You know what? Many have gone through circumstances. That is the supreme Savior. Who are we dealing with this morning? Do you have any idea the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God the Father, the Holy Spirit in your life? You see, we're living our life in this storm today like he doesn't have power. We're concerned about the election. Oh my goodness, who'd have ever thought? You know, I mean, who? It doesn't matter whose side you're on. You got to admit, our nation is in a mess. Guess what? I'm not in a mess because my faith is not in this nation. Now, I'm a patriot. I'm patriotic. I believe in our nation, but I don't depend on this nation. I depend on God, my Creator, and Jesus Christ. Listen, face it. A storm is a storm, right? You can't deny that a storm is a storm. COVID is real. Now, do you have to, you know, do masks do any good? I don't know. We've got more sick people now than before we started wearing masks. Tell me. You know, we got people driving around in the car by themselves with masks on. But it's real. It's a real thing. We can't deny that it's not. Our nation is in a mess. We can't deny that we're in a mess. If you go to the doctor tomorrow and you get diagnosed with cancer, you can't pretend that it doesn't exist. You can believe all you want. See, Joel would tell you, well, just believe. I told somebody on Facebook, matter of fact, a former Facebook friend who was a special agent in Northern Virginia, before I graciously left his circle. I said, look, it doesn't matter what you believe. If what you believe is not true, truth is not a relative concept. You think of an investigator, you know that. I said, truth is not a relative concept. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you believe a lie, then that belief is of no value to you. Application, we're done. Here, I think, is the takeaway. This is what I think he wants us to understand. First of all, never let your circumstances overtake his word. You see, their circumstance overtook the word. He said, we're going to the other side. But when the circumstances came, circumstantial storm came along, it overtook his word. John 16 says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that he shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but you know what the next words was? But be of good cheer. Listen, you in the middle of a boat,
The storms are crashing. The boat is filling up with water. You know what Jesus said? Be of good cheer. Calm down. Go get yourself a pillow. Chill out. You know what? We're going to the other side. I told you we were going to the other side. Nothing is going to prevent us from going to the other side. No circumstances here on earth is going to prevent us from going to the other side. Don't let your circumstances overtake His word. Second, don't let your circumstances overtake His presence. In Matthew 28, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Don't let your circumstances overtake His presence in your life. And thirdly, don't let your circumstances overtake your faith. These men never were the same after this. And you know what? God will use every storm in your life. Every storm in your life is a teachable, trying moment. In every storm in your life serves a purpose. Now, is God tailor-making those storms? No, because storms come. Storms happen. But in the Christian's life, now, if you're unsaved, you can have a storm, and never learn anything. You know, like 10 times you go to the same address for the domestic where the guy's hitting the wife, but she just keeps going getting hit. You see, they're not learning anything. But for the Christian, you should be learning in every storm. It should be tested. The next storm, if you're going through a storm right now, I want you to stop and think about what information Christ has given you leading to this point. Because you know what? You got the answers. You already got the information. Now, we might have to squeeze the sponge a little bit to get it out. But listen, He's not going to test you on something that He hasn't prepared you for. You will never be tried for something that He didn't prepare you to be tested and tried for. You already know. You know, sometimes I know something and I didn't know I knew it. And at my age, I'll say, "Wow, that's amazing." That's kind of what happens when you get Alzheimer's. You know, because it starts with the recent memories. You lose backwards. So pretty soon you're remembering people that you knew 75 years ago that you had forgot for 50 years. Also, it's kind of the way my mind works sometimes. Don't let your circumstances overtake your faith. Job 23. Anybody been in worse storm than Job? But I'm going to finish right now if you're ready to sing, brother. Job 23, in verse 3, he says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Job said, "God, where are you?" He said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." But you know what he says now? He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You know what? Those guys got off of that boat gold. They got off that boat gold. Their life had never been, they had heard about, they had listened to what Jesus could do. They had listened to what God the Father could do. They had heard all of these things. But listen, once they lived it, once they were tested and tried, they come out as gold. Listen, that's what God wants to do to you this morning. We live in a world that needs Jesus Christ. We don't need Trump. Now, I voted for Trump. You know what? Trump is an idol. Donald Trump became one of the biggest idol presidents we ever had. Not necessarily through his own fault, but people worship him. He was a hero to people. And I don't take anything away from the job he did. I think he's one of the best presidents that was willing to stand up. He took a beating for 4 years with enemies on every side, and he still got up and moved in his job every day when he could have just flew off on the island somewhere and said, "Forget you people." There's a lot to that. But listen, he can't fix us. Joe Biden probably can't find his way to D.C., but listen, we probably have to give him a ride this week. But listen, none of that can help you this morning. Jesus, people need Jesus, and it's up to you to tell them. But listen, if don't go out there peddling. If you're trying to peddle to them unlived faith and you haven't tested or tried, they're going to see right through you. You know what? You know the best way to witness to a person? Tell them your testimony. Tell them I was a 21-year-old alcoholic high school dropout, and then God saved me. That's your testimony. But unless your faith is tested and tried, you'll never have that testimony. Come on, brother, let's sing. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, we want you to come. Listen, you can lay down tonight under the pillow just like Jesus in that storm and get a good night's sleep, knowing that the Creator, the Prince of Peace, is on your side.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song that's not familiar to some of you, maybe, but you will, and it's right on target, till the storm passes by.
Hey, we want you, if you want to come, you can come. Pray right where you're at, but do business with God today.
In the dark.